Hey, what's going on, everybody? How y'all doing? This is Jose Chavez, one of the hosts of the Awkwardly Social podcast. Before we get this episode started, just wanted to take a quick moment to acknowledge the long break in between this episode and the previous episode. I appreciate your patience if you had been waiting around for an episode. If you are listening for the first time and you have no idea what I'm talking about, you can go ahead and skip the next 30 seconds or so. Yeah, just wanted to say thank you for your patience. I needed to take a bit of a break. We did record some episodes, so we have some stuff banked, so we shouldn't be having any more gaps in between episodes anymore. This was actually recorded back in March. So if some of the stuff that's said on there is outdated, we're using old slang, whatever it is, just deal with it. You know, everything evolves so quickly. We're probably already out of touch. I had to take a bit of a break myself, not just because of being busy. I could lie and say I was in the middle of making something incredible. I was actually taking a bit of a break because I had a loss in the family and needed some time to process that and just didn't quite find the motivation to go in and sit down and edit something. But we are back at it now. Things are moving forward. I say you're here, you're living, try to live life as best you can. Process the things you need to process. Feel the feelings you need to feel. Process what you got to process and then move forward. So just wanted to say this episode, I'm going to go ahead and dedicate to my cousin whom I lost. But let's all just have some fun and enjoy ourselves and keep life awkward. Let's do this thing.
Is this embarrassing? Yes. Is it awkward? Yes.
No, bitch, it wasn't awkward until you made it awkward by saying awkward.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Awkwardly
Social podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Awkwardly Social podcast. My name is Jose Chavez. Thank you so much for downloading this episode. With me, as always, is my co-host, Ariel Washington. How you doing today, Ariel?
I'm really good. I'm hungry.
Yeah, I know. I apologize. The snacks were laid out. I was hoping that'd be enough to hold you over, but there is a little bit of a shortage of food options around.
Yeah, here. We got to work on your snack. It's like we don't do this every week.
You know what? Funny enough, I went to the grocery store this morning specifically. Like, I'm just gonna grab some snacks, something to hold over, because I expect my guests to have come fed already. But I was wrong. I don't know. I should probably have like little desserts or sandwiches.
Something
like that.
Bagel
setup. So future references, that's what we'll do.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I apologize for that.
It's only taken a few years, you guys, but change has come into the Awkwardly Social podcast.
I mean, how often have we talked about the...
You never have a shortage of booze.
No, never.
You have like 30 different types of booze and no food.
You know what? It's because if you're drunk enough, you're not hungry. I feel like that's how you fight it. I think that's
100% not true.
No? Okay.
No. Drinking makes me hungrier.
Okay. Well, then stop drinking. And
no.
Maybe if you had less of a problem with
it's
alcohol.
It's all you have. Okay. It's the only option.
That's fair. That's fine. You know what? I have some older bananas that I can go get you.
At least now you have soda water in the
that's
house.
That's true. I finally have the stuff that I need so that there's more than one drink option when you arrive. We're sitting here with our guest, by the way, who is just calmly watching us talk to each other back and forth.
I wasn't sure if I was supposed to talk yet.
Like, no, it's totally fine. You wait your turn. That's what we always say. Like, you just stare like, hey, don't say.
I was like, am I gonna get like an introduction at any
point? No, we're gonna give you one. I just want to give him shit before. Yeah. About having zero snacks.
I was like, how long can I sit here without saying a single word?
That's the game we play.
What if we just have you wait the whole episode?
No, it's like I finally was on an episode. No.
40 minutes in, we're like, and our guest.
Yeah. Now, okay, so today's guest is Carlos Medrano, another comedian whom I've. How many times have we worked? We've worked together a few times.
Let's see. So Facebook likes to give memories.
Yes.
And an old flyer, the first flyer of the show you and I did together for the first time was literally 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
At the West Covina Lanes at the time.
Okay.
And I remember you showed up. I think that was like our first time actually working together.
Quite possibly.
Like, we had known each other through like Rizzo and Flacco and then and Johnny.
Oh, Rizzo
and
Flacco.
And I think, yeah, because I think Bruce Jingles was the headliner that night. And I had another comic like drop. And I remember like at that time, I was like barely producing shows and I was like stressing. He's like, and I remember he told me, he's like, are you right? I'm like, I had a comedian drop out on me. And he's like, I could get a comic for you. And I was like, really? And you're like, yeah. He's like, oh, give me a second. And you left the room. You came back and he's like, I was trying to get you Dustin Ibarra. And this is like way before everything for him too. So like I look back at that moment, it's like, damn, dude, I almost had that guy in my show.
Yeah.
And it would have been thanks to you.
Yeah, I mean, so the story is you I failed.
Yeah. And then I cried. I was like, yeah. Fuck, man.
So much. I love that you weren't like, memory. I could do it for you.
Yeah. I think I was already on the show. Just give me more time. Although that is, it is something that's like, I instead of being like, just split the time between the comedians that are already here, I was just like, let's find you another person. That goes to show how much I didn't trust myself to run longer sets at the time. But that is good. Thank you for booking me on that show. I remember none of it, but either way, it's always good. And I remember seeing you at a couple times at the Ice House. I know I did your bar show, I want to say like a year or so ago.
Yeah.
So it is fun working with you. How often would you say, well, first of all, how long have you been doing comedy?
Honestly, it's one of those things where like, you know, some comics where they say they started, but then they took like breaks in between or whatever. So they're like, oh, you don't count those years.
Mm-hmm.
But like when I the first time I ever got on stage, I was 16 years old.
Oh, okay.
And I shouldn't have.
Yeah.
But Richard Villa was the one that put me on stage for the first time at the Ontario Mills Improv. So he was doing like the Afghan tour, like comedy stuff. My brother was out there. Talked to him. I was like, hey, man, my brother wants to be a comedian. And then when he came back, that's when he like introduced himself to me, and that's how I got to do comedy for the first like couple of years of my life while I was in high school.
Yeah.
So that's where it was kind of hard, because like my parents were like, you got to do school or you got to do this. And they were very like precise of like, nah, dude, you got to do school. And I'm like, okay. So I didn't know what I was doing in the beginning. And I honestly think about it, like, had nothing to talk about.
I was about to say, like, what's it like, man, social studies, right?
Like, I think what sucked,
I hate homework.
Is that I looked, the only thing is like my beard grew out, but I looked the way I do now that then.
Yeah.
So nobody believed.
Wait, hold on. How old are you now?
32.
You don't look the same. Aww.
Look great. My eyes are all like, I'm a dad now, too.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you definitely, I could see it. I could see the youth in you. But it's like, the example I always give is like Martin Rizzo, where that dude is perpetually a teenager.
Yeah, he's going to look like a child forever.
Yes. We actually, Rizzo and I were at a show once, and this older man
was like, oh, your son's funny.
Yeah. Actually, that happened.
Is that one of your Jose's?
That happened with Flacco. Flacco got pulled over because he was like, I think he was like smoking or something, and he smoked for his for his illness or whatever. And he got pulled over, and he was being reprimanded by the cop for smoking in front of his son. And it's like, wow, these are two buddies. And it's like, one looks so young that he's like, oh, this is in front of your son. But no, Rizzo and I were at a show, and this man comes up to us with like not a wrinkle on him. And he's 80.
Oh, shit.
He's 80 with no wrinkles. And he's like, I moisturize every single day.
Did he have Botox face, or was he No,
there was zero Botox. There was none of that.
I want to see this man, because sometimes I don't trust Jose's judgment of things.
This is fair.
And then when I see them, I'm like, no, that person looks obviously 80, Jose. Like she's had tons of work.
Ariel will point out the staples in the back of the head. I'm like, oh, I did not realize that.
Your arguments, when I've listened to your guys' podcast, but some of your back and forth on some of the things you don't agree on, that has me dying all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I know one that we had that's still...
The most recent one?
No, I know...
The middle age or the...
Oh, the...
That's how you know we're talking to a guest who's also a listener.
No, it's the Mortal Kombat debate that we always have.
Oh, about the which film is more superior?
Listen, I don't say... superior.
Okay.
I say one is objectively better made.
Oh, you're talking about the production value.
Yeah.
Not the story, not the overall story.
Well, the story on both is debatable.
Yes, I understand.
The story on both is debatable.
Did you ever watch the online like Mortal Kombat?
Yes.
I had a friend, I can't say friend. There was someone I knew who was actually in the online one, and that's how I first found out about it, because he was on this... I think it was MTV that had a show back before that was like a competition between stunt people and like martial artists and stuff. It was like an extreme. And he was part of a group that was like, he got on that show. And so we watched the finale at our place. We had like all the people on over it. And so I'm just meeting all these stunt people. And
well, it's about us.
Yeah. And he was
it's
on
like
it.
Everyone from Waterworld or something.
Yeah. And so we're watching it.
Show.
And then like a year or two later, I see like this Mortal Kombat thing, because I loved Mortal Kombat as a kid. So I'm watching, I'm like, wait a second, I've met this person. And then what's sad is that no one from that show went on to be in the movie. And yeah. I was like, that's what we were all waiting for. And you wait 10 years. I know Michael Jai White still looks great and can do all that stuff. Put him in. Make him. I like the jacks that they got for the new one, but like, it's Michael Jai White.
I want to see Michael Jai White come back as Spawn. I want him to do Spawn again.
Wasn't it going to be Marshall Ali?
Yeah, but he's
no,
doing Blade.
He's Blade. He's Blade.
Doing Blade. Yeah,
that'd be great if he was Spawn again.
Yeah, that would be great. That's a lot of films are so underrated. And by the way, it's every now and then there's a film or a story that's coming talking about like the first film to feature a black superhero. And Spawn gets overlooked so often.
But wasn't Blade first?
Blade and Spawn came, no, about the same
Blade
time.
Blade was first.
But I'm talking, it always bothers me that no one ever talks about Up, Up, and Away.
Yeah.
That's like the first. Like,
or Blank Man. Yeah.
Or, yes, thank or you. Meteor Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, Meteor Man. That is a, yeah.
I just showed my girlfriend Blank Man for the first time.
Oh,
like,
so
not
good.
Too long ago.
Yes.
Because like I met like Mike, who's a binder for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know he wrote Blank Man.
Okay.
So, and I'm like telling my girlfriend, he was like, yeah, Blank Man. She's like, I don't know what that is. I'm like, dude, this is. And luckily it was on Amazon. So we're watching it. Dude, the beginning did not hold up for like anything. She's like, why are you showing me this?
Yeah.
I'm like, trust me, it gets good. Like,
no.
Just keep watching.
Watch Spawn again, and the visual effects are
They're trash.
Amazing.
Yeah. They're, so I remember seeing at the end, even back then, being like, why is this main villain. Why does he have such poor quality? And I remember seeing a behind the scenes about where they ran out of money and why mm-hmm. certain things happened and how much of a rush job it was to do these things. Like, I think some of those graphics they did like in a week or something just because they ran out of money. And
that must have been what happened in Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Oh, you're talking about
the end when they start doing their animalities. I'm like, look, if you couldn't afford to do the animalities, just don't put it in the movie.
Yes.
Like at this point.
As a kid, I loved that movie so much.
Annihilation?
Yes.
Oh, I hated Annihilation
and
even
then
as a kid.
Watching it as an adult, and I'm like, it's so horrible.
Yeah.
Like,
that's but,
you
know
mother,
what movie
you're
doesn't?
Alive. Too yeah. bad. Soon you'll be dead. I was like, who wrote this?
I understand she was under a spell, but come on. She wasn't under a spell to be a bad actress. So
yeah.
What's the film? Okay, so Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers movie.
Yikes.
I have that on DVD right now. I don't have a DVD player, but I have it.
You know, it's a hard find now, right?
Yes, yeah. It is a movie that was, I remember this. I begged my mom to take me to the movie because I was like, the video game is great, yada, yada. Please take me to this movie. I take her to the movie. After the movie, I want to say even the next day or whatever, I'm talking about to my mom, like, this is a cinematic masterpiece. Being like, Mom, wasn't that a great movie? And she was like, yeah. Like, she was like playing the part. But as an adult, I'm like, wow, she really tried hard to be on my side for that thing.
Yeah,
because
no.
She doesn't even like watching a film to begin with or movies to begin mm-hmm. with. And I tortured her with watching this movie and then proceeding to talk about this movie.
I saw that movie in theaters with my brother. And yeah, we loved it. Like when we were younger,
yeah.
We used to always go cluck, cluck, cluck. And, you know, it was our thing. And then years later watching, I'm like, why did we think this movie was great?
Yeah.
There was no part of that movie that was like the Mario Brothers except for the Mario Brothers.
If they would have gave Yoshi some boots, maybe that would have been the selling point for me. But they did not give Yoshi boots.
They were like, hey, everyone loves this game, right? Let's just give it the name and then do nothing else.
Yeah, that film, watching, have you ever watched any of the behind the scenes about that film?
No.
So the husband and wife duo that I think wrote and directed that film.
Oh, that's
film,
why it's so disjointed.
They were doing daily massive rewrites for that film. And the actors themselves were getting drunk every day on set because they were like, this is a piece of garbage that we're stuck in. Mm. We may as well be fucking drunk while doing this. So they were drunk. Any scene you watch, they are just completely just demolished. And like, if you watch it again from that perspective, you might notice a couple things.
Well, I know in Bob's like interview, he talked about that a lot. Like, what was the worst movie that he was ever in or he regretted? And he'd always say Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not an actor, but imagine if the one film I did was essentially Super Mario Brothers. I'd be forever known as Toad in Super Mario Bros. Like, watch me play this harmonica.
But, it's so all right, bad.
So what was that short film that you were in? Because you talked about it in old episodes where you were like in a... You were like a cholo or something like that?
That wasn't a short film. That gives it significantly more credit than it actually deserves.
It was a sketch.
It was a sketch done by another comedian who, about a month or so prior, I had a comedian, Jackson McQueen, Kate Quigley, and then my buddy Andrew. They all did a sketch that I did that was about a sort of play on word, a play on social justice, where this woman is overly compensating for a mugging that's happening because she's being mugged by a black man, but she's trying to like defend him because she's being way too social justice-y kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then watching it afterwards, I was like, I feel like I could have done this better, something a little less the way that it was. I go back and then I was like, I feel like karmically I'm going to get punished for this in some way. I get a call from a friend of mine who says, we are desperate. A comedian friend of ours dropped out. We need somebody to come in and do this thing. It's just a small part for the sketch. We would really appreciate it. And I said, all right, fine. I'm like, what do I wear? They're like, just wear this and this and that. You might be like in a tank top or shirtless. I'm like, I won't do shirtless. I'm not comfortable with that.
What?
So
you could have been Bert Kreischer, man.
I'm envious of Bert Kreischer's body. No. So I get to this park. And I'm like, so what's the part? What am I doing? And they're like, I'm like, is there a script? Is there anything? He's like, no, you're just going to kind of improvise it. I'm like, okay, whatever. He goes, you're going to play a cholo. I was like, okay, I don't want to do that. That's probably why he told me. It turns out the other comedian dropped out because he didn't want to play a cholo because it wasn't properly communicated to him. And he's like, I don't want to play this kind of character because there's almost always somebody who's like, wear a flannel shirt, only buttoned at the top, wear a beanie, like covering your eyes a little bit. And that's the whole thing. At some point, that's a little bit like you feel like you're punching below, you know, or something. You're like, just not doing that thing. But I was already there. They had a kid actor. The only person who was getting paid was this kid and or whatever. So they were like, this is our only opportunity to shoot this thing. Please, please, please help us. So I do this thing, get the teardrop tattoo drawn.
Oh, man.
I stoop to a level that I am not proud of for this whole thing.
Is that what ended your acting career?
That's where I retired. I walked away. We do the thing. It's kind of funny. The premise of the joke is a misunderstanding between hiring a clown and they accidentally hire a dude. They call themselves Joker. And this thing comes out. I see it. I have so much shame. I beg these comedians, be like, please don't put this out there. If you do, like, bury it. Like, let it go away. So I was very disappointed in this, and that was that sketch. So thankfully that went away. But I just hated
it.
This felt
sketch?
So
no.
It just
finally
starts, I'm like, where did that TV come from? So that
projector.
That's the purpose why I wanted to be a guest. I knew she was going to show me.
Yeah. And so I had to do this thing where this person who did the sketch, another comedian passed away and said, you know what? Rest in peace, such and such. Here's a sketch I did with him when he was alive kind of thing where I was like, no, if I die, do not play this sketch and be like, rest in peace, Jose. We had a lot of laughs together.
So
he did this sketch right here. Watch it now. And this is the one memory you're going to have of him forever. I'm like, why would you? Please don't. So I
that
had
gets a, you a SAG reward.
I had a, no. I had to put out. I put out a PSA multiple times. And like, when I die, two things I don't want:
photoshopped in the clouds
or with wings. Exactly. don't Photoshop me with clouds. Don't add wings to me. I did not deserve them.
I didn't go there.
Yeah. No. And the second one is, any of the content that I'm clearly ashamed of, don't put it out there for your own fucking self-promotion. I'm like, that's more for you than it was for them.
Why can't you know? I, though?
Huh?
What if I, like, don't put it out for my self-promotion, but I'm just like, he hated this, and I know he'd think this was funny.
I think I would.
Right now.
I think in the afterlife, I'd be laughing. I'd be so mad, but I'd also be laughing. I'd be like, we wouldn't be friends if you didn't do that. I actually had multiple people be like, hey, my cousin died, my kid died. Can you Photoshop wings onto them? I was like, please don't send me a photo of your dead child and ask me to put wings on this child. Please do not ask me to do that.
Like, so did you have to do like a whole cholo voice or you were monotone or whatever?
I mean, I was monotone either way.
Did
but
you
I,
have the line, sup, foo?
What up, fool? Yeah, fool.
I
nah.
knew it.
Here's the thing. Here's what we're going to do.
Pissed.
No, you don't hit the piñata. You stab it kind of shit. I was like, what am I doing here? What am I doing here?
It's always funny to me when friends like try to pitch ideas and they're like, so you would play this sassy. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, fuck you.
Sassy black woman.
I don't want to be part of your thing. If the first thing you describe me as is sassy every time, I'm only like 30% as sassy as people think I am.
Yes.
Like I contain a lot.
Yeah.
So that's, I don't feel like that's my branding. I don't feel like if when people meet me, it's just like, oh damn, she's like not to be fucked with.
I'm going to introduce you at the show as like a sassy comedian. I'm like, the next comedian is very sassy.
I think it's just my arms. People see my arms and they're like, oh yeah, you must fight. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Not unless I have to on the train.
Yeah.
I will say though, your little cholo voice right now is actually pretty good, dude.
I'm not proud of it.
But see, like, well, because you know how that viral meme with a Star Wars picture that flew around a couple of years ago?
Which one?
The Star Wars, the Mexican Star Wars. That's me. That's my brother, his wife, our buddy, and myself. But when we were in the creating process of like wanting to do that, I was always very private that I didn't want, like, I'm like, I didn't know it was going to blow up the way it did. But I was like, well, I don't want my face to be shown.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I ended up, I was like, well, fuck it, I'm going to be Darth Vato. Mm-hmm. So, but when we were doing sketches for the video, like, I couldn't do a voice.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, but, and then I kept telling my brothers, like, okay, if we do shoot something, like, at least tweak with the audio so my voice comes out, like, distorted or anything like that. But even, like, hearing it, like, I, same thing, dude, I cringe on, like, me attempting to talk that talk.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't see this, so I'm not gonna.
I'm trying to look for
it. Yeah. So this was it. Like,
it's on. So what, on YouTube, the Brothers Bear podcast.
Were you doing the like the oh?
No. See, I wasn't even doing that. It was just me talking.
Gotcha.
And then, he would just distort the video, or it might be on his other podcast stuff too. But the Brothers Bear podcast is when we started doing all
what
that.
What if it wasn't viral and it was just all of your friends sharing it just to fuck with you? Like, this is that everywhere. Yeah, no.
They're editing the views.
Yeah.
No. I can't find it, but we will. Oh, I'll and that'll be the... Well,
yeah, yes. send it to us later.
That would be easier. Yeah. We're like, no, we're going to find it.
Yeah. So it's always like, if you grow up around it enough, you can mimic it, you can impersonate it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't need to, I still don't like doing it. I did have on a guest, Karina Luna. I don't know if you know her, but she did a sketch for one of those like Me Too kind of things, and in it, she and this other actor, comedian, former gang member named Scar, who just has a legitimate massive scar across his face, were playing like if they were two Disney Terminators. Character? Similar, yeah. They were playing like Terminator Cholos from the future, and in the sketch they just kind of like they scan me or whatever, and so I had her on the podcast kind of talking about that, and there are certain things that she explained where like, look, we have to build our own culture, this is just part of the culture that exists, so we have to, you know, spread as much of this as we can. I don't fully agree with all of that, but I am also starting to understand the place of like, just because it wasn't something that I grew up with doesn't mean other people didn't grow up with it. So there needs to be some kind of acknowledgement for it. I don't think it's specifically the culture that is meant for our entire community, you know, like a representation of the entire community, but it definitely is representation for a facet of that community.
Well, I think there becomes a conversation of like, there are certain things that we're like, no, I don't want to play that. And I don't want to play certain things because I feel like it's a tired stereotype. Like I refuse to play a slave.
Yeah.
I don't do what I call trauma porn. It's like, yo, if I'm getting my ass beat half the movie just for the sake of being like, oh, I'm getting my ass beat, I don't want to do that. Like, women do other stuff. Black women do things like smile and go on vacation and fall in love and have romantic comedy type lives. I want to do that.
Yeah.
But then we also have to think of like the cholo. Is it because the outside eyes on it have such an opinion about what it looks like? Or like even for like Boys in the Hood, anyone who's like Ice Cube's character, you know what I mean? It's like there's nothing wrong with our culture and these people, but there's also like a view of it from the outside that's like, I'm tired of you thinking all of us are that.
I get it.
You know what I mean?
Like I'm from La Puente, so
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, thank you. But Trust me, I'm trying to move right now. I live in La Puente, and I was going to school in Glendora, and I remember, like, I was quiet. I just sat in the back. And then towards, like, that last week of school, like, everyone's now starting to kind of, like, mingle with each other. And I'm like, you guys didn't give a fuck about me. Now you're going to talk to me? No. So there was a moment where everyone's kind of asking, like, oh, where are you from or where do you live? And I happen to say, yeah, oh, I live in La Puente. And everyone was like, do you feel safe living there?
I was like, wait, I'm what? Safer than but, like, you.
I've been living there all my life, and I've never felt that. Like, I get it. There was, like, somebody who got killed one of my senior year because of being at the wrong place at the wrong time type of deal. My friend's brother was killed through gunshots. So, obviously, I know it was in the city. I mean, it's still there. But, like, I've never picked up that dialect to, like, talk like that. Like, even, like, on one of my bits, I talk about something that actually happened to me with these two cholos. But my girlfriend, when I do that bit, she says, like, you suck at doing the voice.
Yeah. I wouldn't even do the voice. I wouldn't even attempt it. I do. So I have a, I grew up in Pacoima.
We're sorry.
Thank
no,
you.
No, I'm kidding.
I survived.
I was this close to.
So I've been mugged there a couple times. I've had guns drawn on me there more than once. I mean, I went to school not too far from where we are right now, and where we are right now is always considered sort of like the safer part of town. Like you get you leave Pacoima to come here to feel safe. A kid at my school, my senior year, same thing, was shot just outside of school.
Oh, wow.
This happened the week of 9/11, so I never got any, like, media coverage or anything. But, like, people would always talk about, like, do you feel safe? Do you feel this and that? And talking about something like, yeah, I do. I feel just fine. It's like, yes, shit happens over there, and every now and then you might see a bullet casing on the floor kind of thing. But it's, like, with the exception of, like, getting mugged and some gangsters trying to, like, you know, like, try and act real tough with me and, like, try to punk me, I've never, like, been in the same level of threat as I was at my high school. Or at this other places. In Pacoima, I had a gun drawn on me the same day that the guy who shot and killed the kid at our high school had the gun on me before that and just didn't pull the trigger. So he would have killed me if he wanted to. He chose not to. Like, he had the gun on me, thought about it, put it away. And so I think to myself, I'm like, people always think about, like, oh, this is the safe place. But it's like, no, there really is. Los Angeles County and the surrounding area, not a whole lot of safe options. You're just lucky when something isn't happening around you. We moved to Lake Balboa, which is supposed to be, like, part of Van Nuys, where they were like, we're going to separate ourselves from them.
Yeah.
We're going to be fancier.
We're the suburbs of Van Nuys.
Yes.
I've never heard of that.
Lake Balboa, it's the nicer part. Our neighbors are killed execution style after a drug deal gone wrong, and my mom hears the gunshots. The news and the detectives are at our door the following day.
Well, it's like, first off, I'm a woman, so I don't really feel safe anywhere.
I'm sorry.
But, like, I lived in a neighborhood once where, like, this was one where they showed us the apartment, or they showed my mom the apartment at day.
Uh-huh.
And it was, like, birds chirping and shit. And as soon as, like, the sun went down, it was
crazy.
A war zone.
Yeah.
It's like Venice Beach.
Yeah.
At night.
Yeah. Venice Beach.
Like,
is
during the
weird.
Day, it's like,
Venice
magical.
Is scary at night.
And then at night it's like
quirky.
Word, yeah.
I always
not magical, quirky.
Describe it as, like, you know, you know the movie Ghost when like the bad demons come up to collect and they're like, that's Venice at night.
Yes.
You see them, like, creeping up the walls, the shadows get all weird. But, like, in this apartment, a dude that lived downstairs who we had talked to many times, my brother and him conversed a lot. My brother's actually talking to him, like, maybe 30 minutes to an hour before this happened. He got shot in a drive-by, like, right downstairs from us. We were, like, crawling army style, and these are things I knew how to do at 7 for some reason, 8. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, that's dangerous. It happens more often. It's kind of like the byproduct of poverty. But also, like, all these schools getting shot up aren't in bad neighborhoods. You know, all the theaters and malls and bars getting shot up. So it's like, I don't really feel safe anywhere. I just keep my eyes on a swivel and just watch the exits. Like, I always have an exit plan anywhere because I'm like, I don't know where any. My luck is I'd get out of the hood and go to a suburb and then get shot. Like, that's the irony of it. And it could happen to anyone. So, like, it's like.
But it's just a different kind of shot. It's a crossfire as well. A, a husband and wife are arguing kind of thing versus like gang affiliated kind of
thing. No, it's like either gang affiliated or it's like your weird neighbor who's going to like skin you. And I'd rather just be popped at school than get skinned by Jared down the street. Like, you know what I mean?
I love my city. I will, like, I'm always like, oh yeah, I want to rep the city. But at the same time, like, I want to leave the city.
Yeah.
You know, now you want to rep it from afar.
Yeah. Like, like now that I'm a dad, like that's another thing too. It's yeah. Like, I really don't want my kids to like be here because I've noticed that the schools and the kids that are still going to these, like where I grew up, it hasn't changed.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
I thought you were going to say, like, I noticed my kids starting to get real violent.
Yeah, they
like,
are, dude.
Like, he's really good at doing the troll impersonation. It's crazy.
No, I got jumped in the black schools because, like,
yeah,
the way I spoke, and it wasn't even like a product of the suburban first and second grade I went to. Mm. Probably a little bit of that, but my mom just had an emphasis on the English language and speaking a certain way, probably from, you know, her own years of being discounted.
Yeah.
For, you know, seeing people discounted for sounding a certain way. And she's like, you can get a good job if you sound like this on the phone. She's right. But also going to the hood for the first time and like going to those schools, I was a target. Yeah. I was getting jumped and it was getting out of control. And then I was like, Mom, get me out of here. And then she moved us to like a trailer park. And I was like, this is not it.
You did it, Mom.
Yeah, this is not what I meant. I was like, are we this broke? Yeah. but then like this, when I went to that school, this white girl was like, I'm going to kick your ass. And just after being jumped for a couple years and then moving out of that situation, having that happen, I was like, I guess I'm just going to have to fight at one point.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to have to do this. And I won. I was very proud of myself. My whole family was like, what? They're like, you got in a fight? My mom baked me a cake when I got RPC'd and suspended. And I was like, so did no one in this family think I was going to win this fight? My whole family bet bet against me.
I've been in fights my family's never heard of. Like, I've never told them. If they listened to this, they might have heard
it. Oh, I had to because I got suspended.
No, I...
My mom knew.
I had to, like, hide it. But it's also because whether or not you win or lose, my only thought during a fight was my mom's going to kill me. My mom's gonna kill me. The one fight I couldn't get away with was my neighbor got mad at me for beating him in Street Fighter, so we got into an actual fight and we wrestled our way through a sliding door.
Ooh.
That was closed. Ooh. And it shattered around us. He freaked out and he ran away, and my mom was fucking livid because we had to clean the glass, do all this stuff, and then she had to pay to replace the door, and she was so mad at the point to where I was like, I've disappointed my mom before, but like this was a different kind of disappointed that I did not like. So if I got into a fight after that, I was like, I'm just gonna hide it. I'm gonna be quiet. If I got my ass jumped or if I anything like that, I would not tell her. I'd just be like, I don't want her to get upset or worry or anything. And plus, this when you hear glass shattering all around you and you fully expect to be diced up by all pieces, it kind of makes you be a little more selective about how and where you're going
to
be fighting.
See, mine was different. My mom, I asked her to talk. I was like, this girl says she's going to kick my ass. And my mom was like, well, I'll talk to them. Because she knew she was raising a little nerd.
Yeah.
And and the girls like wouldn't come close to my mom. And my mom was like, well, look, they don't want to talk to me. So what you're going to have to do is grab whichever one gets closest to you and beat the shit out of her. And I was like, okay, that's not the advice I was expecting. I was thinking like we could do Starbucks run and like talk it out. And she's like, no, you're gonna have to fight them. I can tell.
Fill a sock with coins and see what happens.
And so because she realized I was not about that life, we went to my counselors the next day and we were like, we need help. This girl's threatening me. And they were like, there's nothing we can do because she hasn't technically done anything to you.
And like the no proof thing.
Which I was like, well, in the real world, threats are a crime,
yeah,
you know, but apparently not in middle school. And so she threatened me for a week. It almost happened at school one time. And I remember specifically I was packing like my brush every day because I did not want my hair to get messed up. Like these are the things I was worried about. And it was the day before Christmas break, the last day of school before Christmas break. And I was walking to the bus stop and this kid was like, Heather says she's going to fight you. And I was like, no.
Not Heather.
I almost made
it. It's always a Heather.
It's always a Heather.
She was a year older than me. She was bigger than me.
Yeah.
In a few ways. She wasn't fat or anything. I was just mad small. I was like a little twig. And she came up to me and I dropped my bag. So I was like, shit, it's happening. I don't know if I'm ready for this. And then she swung wide and hit my shoulder, like almost in a wheelbarrow thing. And I remember like feeling it and being like, that wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
And then I lost my shit.
The buildup to a hit is always greater than the hit itself.
Yeah. And it was like, it felt like that Spider-Man scene in the original Sam Raimi one where he's like watching the hand
where
go by.
Flask hits him, yeah. Tries to hit him.
Yeah. Yeah. It felt like that because it was so slow motion. I was like, oh, this is what I was afraid of. And yeah. Then I went ape shit on this bitch.
My parents to this day don't know I got jumped one time coming home from school.
Wow. Like, well, guess what? I'm going to make them listen to this episode.
We're going to sit them down.
Finally.
No, my brother got jumped once and then like went back and caught each one of the kids individually.
Smart. Like, it's funny.
When he was young, yeah.
It's funny because like I knew it was going to happen, but at the same time, I wasn't sure if it was going to happen.
Like they threatened you with it or?
Well, at the time, it was like my first girlfriend in seventh grade, and she lived in these apartments that were very notorious in Puente, mm-hmm. which they were called P-apartments, and everybody knew, like, oh, those apartments don't go near it. It's not. So she lived, like, in the center of these apartments.
In the center. It was like a setup.
At the time.
Did she really live there, or did she lure you there?
No, she lived there.
Okay.
So
she
I
She must have
skate.
Been beautiful.
She was the only, like, punk chick at the time. So I was the, I guess.
Everyone. Oh, you're after them dangerous ones.
Yes. Yeah.
So I was a skater at the time. And, you know, the whole cholos and skaters don't get along or there's that beef for no fucking reason. This guy came up to me one time, gave me a warning. He's like, hey, we don't want you skating in these apartments. And I'm like, okay. And I didn't think much. I went to her apartment and I skated out. Next day, I'm going in and I see both of them kind of sitting outside. Now, one of the guys I was with, the guy who ended up punching me, I skated with his buddy one time. So I didn't think anything. I was like, oh, I know that guy.
He couldn't let them know that he knew you. He was like, oh, I don't know him.
Went in, you know, hung out with her for a bit. And then I went home. As I'm leaving, I passed them. Maybe about 5 seconds later, I hear a quick whistle. And then I turn around. I was like, what happened? And he's like, hey, I thought we told you not to, you know, come back. And I'm like, whatever. I'm like, dude, I don't got time for this. Like, I was afraid I was going to get in trouble from my mom. So I'm like, I gotta fucking go. Mm-hmm. I'm like, dude, you know me, you know? We skated together. He's like, I don't give a fuck. I'm like, dude, whatever. I walk away. Again, I hear a whistle. And I don't know why I did like that stop. I'm like, God damn it. Like, I have my back towards them. Mm-hmm. And I turned around. And the moment I turned around, the same thing, that Spider-Man punch. Mm-hmm. And I just got like decked right in the jaw. And I'm like, dude, what the fuck? Like, it happened so fast. And then out of nowhere, he starts swinging more. Same thing. He's just kind of like.
This is the dude you skated with?
No. Oh, the guy. The other dude. He just starts swinging at me. But I was like, he was a big, heavy set dude, and he's swinging, but I'm blocking every single thing he's like throwing at me. And then he gets more frustrated that he looked like Curly from the Three Stooges because he's getting mad that I'm literally like blocking and ducking everything. And then after that, like, I like move. I'm like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? Like, back the fuck off. And I had my board in my hand. And then he just yelled at me saying not to come back. And then I walked, like, skated away. But went home and I didn't know my mouth was already getting like all swollen. So when I went into my house, my mom's like, what happened? I'm like, what do you mean what happened? And she's like, your face. I'm like, oh, I fell.
Yep. I knew that.
And
that
was
it.
And then, dude, I think what made the whole situation, because I was like playing back of what happened. I remember calling my girlfriend being like, hey, this happened to me. She's like, oh my God, really? I'm like, yeah. And I'm watching TV and it felt like in the movies and the TV shows where you're like, I'm like flipping channel surfing and every episode of whatever it was had to deal with fighting.
Yeah.
Like I remember that episode of SpongeBob where that like flat fish.
Yes.
Was bullying him. That episode was airing for some odd reason. I'm like, really? This is the episode?
And they hadn't even premiered SpongeBob yet. And he was already watching it.
This is like around 2001. Yeah. I just remember being like the whole going into school the next day. I'm like, dude, how am I going to deal with this?
Yeah.
And then recently I found out that guy is like
rehabilitated and shit.
Yeah. He's like a Jesus guy. He like tries to help out like
you should hit him
born
up
like a born again Christian.
You should hit him up for an apology.
I want to.
Be like, yo, God wants you to apologize, hey, bro.
God said turn the other cheek, turn your other cheek, bitch. No.
God says you owe me something.
Yeah.
Let me punch you, sucker punch you once.
It's funny that you're saying about the whole cholos and skaters don't mix. The last dude to try to like punk me before moving out of San Fernando, was this dude on a skateboard. I was coming home late, and some dude on a skateboard is just riding around me. And I don't mean a distance. I mean, like, as close as you are, going around me to try to intimidate me. Yeah, it was real tight corners. I was impressed. And so, and he's like, he's just leaning in. And I was like, I could easily shove you off of this skateboard and you could fall, but I'm not looking for a fight. And I'm also wouldn't do something like that. I want it to be a fair fight. And even now, like, you see that one dude who like got famous on TikTok for riding a skateboard and listening to
the cranberry juice guy?
Yeah.
Dogface.
Oh, Dogface, yeah. Which, by the way, he's a great actor, it turns out. He was in Reservation Dogs, he's a great actor.
And he was in Lopez versus Lopez.
I haven't watched
that. Yeah, he came out on like a quick episode. Yeah.
Well, it's funny because like I, what was it, New Year's Eve 2 years ago? Not this last one, but the year before. I just randomly got punched by some dude.
Really?
On the train, like, and I could feel the buildup because I was like, this guy is being weird. And I'm just keeping an eye on it. And he kept like antagonizing me, shoulder checked me at one point. And my therapist, the dude I was like just started talking to, and Jose were all like mortified and angry and scared for me after the fact when I told him what happened. My best friend too. And my therapist was like, do you feel like you had to do that, or was there a reason? And I was like, you know what? I feel like the person was testing me.
Yeah.
And I was in more danger if I hadn't fought back than I would have been if I did. I was like, I could get my ass kicked on this platform easy. That's fine. Mm-hmm. You know? But the danger I felt like I was in if I did not fight back was way more.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
That way this person's going to follow me home. They're going to know I'm scared. I'm a good target. You know what I mean? But like, if I fight back, at least they know, oh, this is going to be an effort.
Yeah,
I have to put an effort to this person. There are a lot of people around. And also, like, I tagged him. He hit me once. It was a good one. I hit him 3 times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I was like, no, we're doing this. And at one point he pulled my hair, and I remember thinking like, if this isn't some bitch shit, how are you going to start a fight by punching me and then pull my hair?
Yeah. Now, I would say this much. Leading up to a fight, not engaging it, me not hitting the dude on the skateboard just because he was trying the intimidation tactic, good way to go. The moment he swings, the moment you get sucker punched, the moment you get cold clocked by this dude who comes up from behind you, that's when you have all access permission to fight back. Because I strongly suggest that you fight back in a situation like that. Because people always give the worst advice about, like, don't fight back, just sort of take it. It's like, no.
Cheek.
You're not going to, trust me, you're not going to make a situation worse. You're going to level the playing field. You're going to give yourself a fighting chance to come out of this should it escalate. Because if somebody's already at the point where they're going to sucker punch you, or they're trying to engage with you in that way, and they actually execute an attack on you, that is somebody who can, you have no idea how far they'll go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have no idea what the end result is going
to
be.
You have to make it as hard for them as possible, because maybe they'll just factor in the risk towards a war and be like, this isn't worth it. But I knew that something was happening from the moment like we got off the platform, and we're both like, you get off and you turn right to go to the stairs. And he stopped right here to block my way. And I'm like, okay, what are we doing? And so I go around and he goes this way. And then I see out of my peripheral him coming, and he shoulder checks me. And I was like, okay, we're in it now. And so I kicked his right foot behind his left to make him trip like he was in middle school. And then he was like, what the fuck? I'll punch you. And like, he was honest. He did. But I was wearing my own homemade, home-sewn mask. So it had a lot of cushion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when he hit me, I was just like, oh, man. I was like, you didn't put me down, bro. I've been waiting to fight a dude my whole life. I was like, I've been a woman.
She's been practicing on me, just attacking me randomly.
I was like,
morning in the mirror.
Yeah.
Today's the day.
I was like, you just gave me the greatest gift, because like, it didn't hurt as bad as people thought it would. Yeah, it did. It hurt, but it didn't hurt like nearly as bad as a punch from a grown man should have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so once that moment happened, I was like, yo, hit me again. I don't know what Bruce Willis character I turned into. I was like, hit me again. And he was like, no, it's all good. I already tagged you. I'm not trying to let you out. I was like, I don't know if you understand how this works.
Yeah.
I cannot tell you what this dude looks like. even right after, I was like, I don't remember what he was wearing.
Did you call me right after? Because I feel like I got a phone call or something from you.
I called Liz after, and she was like, where are you headed? I was like, I'm headed to the grocery store. And she's like, why are you going to the grocery store? I'm like, because that's where I was fucking going before I got punched. I still got groceries to get.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let him change my day.
I will say this.
I won.
One of the things I do enjoy listening about your guys' podcast is that, like, when you, before, you know, we kind of went back into the conversation, like, you really give good, like, information of, like, how to do shit. Both of you do. And that's one thing I taken from this. I kind of segueing into this, but when you talked about, like, I don't remember what episode it was, about, like, friend breakups.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that, to me, like, oh, that's a good episode. And then it happened to me, and I was like, well, just remember what Ariel and Jose said. And, like, I was using that episode to kind of, like, refresh myself. And I'm like, dude, like,
Friend breakups are hard.
Yeah, like...
They are.
People don't give them the credit of, like, intimate relationships, because I guess we put those in two different boxes. But I feel like a lot of my friendships are more intimate than my intimate relationships.
Like, how it happened with me recently, like, it was, like, the dumbest shit, but, it's one of those things where I look back, and even when I was going to therapy at the time, even my therapist was like, you shouldn't be friends with these people, but it's like, no, you don't understand, you know? But now that I, like, years later, it happened, I'm like, dude, really? Like, all these other times that should have been the pinnacle moment of the ending, and then this is what draws the line. It's like, really? Come on, dude.
Yeah, and friendships end sometimes abruptly, sometimes for the dumbest reasons, but they end. And it's like, sometimes you don't realize how much a friendship needs to end. It's like, if you're constantly defending the person who the friendship ends with, maybe it's okay to say, like, what were you really fighting for? To have another number on your social media, to have somebody to talk to be a little goofy with. Yeah, to somebody. My top eight changed every other day.
Top eight started a lot of fights.
That started so many fights. I remember somebody legitimately being mad at me for removing them off of a top eight. I'm like, we haven't talked in months, and also I'm leaving MySpace. Have you heard about this new thing called the Facebook?
They added the 16 and you weren't in that? Oh, man.
That part sucked. I remember one time there was somebody who they were in my top eight, and I was not in their top 16. And I was like, this friendship's a little one-sided. Come on, what are you doing to me, pal?
It's always weird, too, like, when a friendship ends or it's starting to end, usually you've had a little time apart.
Mm-hmm.
And you start realizing how peaceful that is, or how good you feel, or whatever you're missing in that friendship. You start realizing, or here's where it really changes. When you make a friend, that is what a friend should be.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
While you're in the middle of contemplating ending a friendship, that's the clearest thing. Because, like, my best friend now, we were at that stage of, like, damn, I ride with this girl, but, like, I had a best friend. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you take that seriously. I had been friends with this girl for like 16 years. And then just in my friendship with Liz, I was starting to realize, like, no, this is a real friend. What the fuck is this that I've been in for years? It's just a familiarity. I wasn't in a friendship. I was in a familiarity.
I think what was hard for me when this all, like, erupted is that, like, I've known my friend, like, since day one of freshman year of high school. Like, that's, like, when everything started. Throughout the years, dumb shit would happen here and there. And, yeah, there are moments that we should have stopped talking, but we kept being friends. And there were just those highs that were there, but then there were many lows.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And we just kept going. We wouldn't talk. Then some bullshit happened. We wouldn't talk. And at those times, I always felt like, well, this is it. Like, this is going to be it. And then randomly she would text me. I'm like, okay, cool, fuck it, we're gonna talk, or I'll do the same thing. And we would go, and it was always back and forth. Like, time would pass, we'd be cool again, time would pass, we'd be cool again. And this last time, so 9 years ago, I tried taking my life. And then I felt that was like my year one, and I started over. So I was kind of like now starting over with everybody. She took me out, she introduced me to, like, friends and stuff. But what came with the two sides of friends that I had, I was now around drugs. And this is where my therapist had told me, because the first time I ever did, like, any type of pills was because of her and her friends. But it was like, here, this is going to make you feel good, this and that. I remember telling that to my therapist, and my therapist was like, you should have not done that.
Yeah.
Like, you were not in the best state of mind. And I remember I had no information about, like, pill popping or anything like that. The first time I ever took it, like, my mindset was, like, in the movies where, like, this might kill me. Like, I wasn't successful the first time. But maybe this, no. You know, and but instead I ended up enjoying it. And I was like, oh, my God, this is fun. You know, like, I see life and shit, which I get now, the understanding of why people do it and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But at that moment, I should have never done it. Like, and
these and people, a real friend yeah, should have.
And these been people able to knew that, like, dude, your friend tried to do this not too long ago. Maybe this shouldn't be the best thing. You know, it makes us feel good, but maybe this might not work on him. But I was still around it. Yeah, I lived life. I took stories from those moments and stuff. But like, I had that side of friendship with that, or like everything from her, where I was around a bunch of drugs. And, like, I look back at those moments, and then now where it's, like, the dumb crap that happened in May back in May, that, like, that's what ended our friendship. Like, I was supposed to dog sit for her, and I got COVID. And I told her, I'm like, dude, I got COVID. Like, are you okay with that? But I felt like she didn't believe that I really got COVID.
Oh.
Hmm. And... Yeah.
COVID has ended some friendships.
Yeah, and then I never said, hey, I'm not going to go to your house. I said, look, I don't know if you feel comfortable. I'll still go over. I'll spray down, whatever. I'll take your dogs out. I never said I was not going to go over. But all I got was, fuck, are you serious? I'm like, yeah.
Are you okay?
Yeah, no, it was none of that. It was just...
That friendship needed to end.
And
100% that needed 100%. To go.
100%. Yeah. Now looking back, I now know. But and it's funny because I think, all right, so her house is haunted.
Oh, man.
And I was excited to...
Dude, work it out, please.
Just give her a call. I was excited to do it.
Remember what we just said?
I was ready to do like EVP work while I was at her house and do all like leave shit recorded. That was my whole plan. I was like, dude, I'm going to have fun with this shit. But the week of... I started feeling like crap, and then that Friday, it hit me so hard that I was like, dude, call me. And then she called me. She's like, what? I was like, dude, I just took a test. I got COVID. I feel like shit. I have a high fever. And yeah, at no moment it was like, are you okay? No, it was like, fuck, dude, you serious? I'm like, yeah. I was like, I'll call you back.
That's what happened to me. Like, I got COVID, and then my friend just disappeared, and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
All right.
And what pissed me off the most, like, about all of this is that, one, my son, his middle name is her nickname. And she's supposed
to change his middle name.
Yeah, I know. I was like, if you ever ask, like, where did my middle name come from? Like, well, there is this Mortal Kombat character. His middle name is Jax.
Just so I'm there.
Yeah, that was one of
those. There was this game
we used to play as kids. Like,
there was, yeah, these badass Jax. Arms.
His name is Jax. It's based off of this character from a superior film. no, so you just got to take this as like, this is somebody who was only using your friendship or dynamic as a benefit for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It was less about you doing drugs. Inviting somebody to your addiction is them saying, I need you on my level in order for us to engage with one another. If you had stayed sober, if you had, you know, not like this COVID thing it's a blessing in disguise mm-hmm. for you, not the world, for you in this moment, because it showed you, it gave an opportunity for you to see somebody. The hardest part is when you're not the one who ends the friendship, when you are the one who watches it dissolve and the person who was a problematic one mm-hmm. is the one that does it. But it's also kind of the way that it goes sometimes, because as problematic as a friendship can be, sometimes that's the only person who will do the thing of ending it. And as much as it sucks, it's also kind of a blessing in the mm-hmm. end. It gives that way they can grow and become who they got to become. And you don't got to worry about it. You prioritize you, your kids, your whole personal life. That's nothing to do with her.
You know what I noticed?
What's that?
The two friendships that I had that ended, the ones that were like hard for me that ended, my mom saw the signs in both years ago.
Oh, damn.
Now, my mom may not be right about everything,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and we go back and forth about certain things, but those two girls, she saw it from a mile away. And she would say things like, with the most recent one that happened, she was like, in high school, she'd be like, the way she looks at you is interesting when she doesn't know, like when you're not looking at her and when she doesn't know I'm like paying attention. She's like, it's this weird love envy type thing. And she would say that about my former best friend. Similar things, like there seems to be like a weird energy, like a jealousy. And I'm like, no, she's just, you know, more introverted than me, mom. You don't get it. And like in hindsight, in the way the relationships broke up, I was like, damn, my mom was like,
yeah,
she was on it. She saw it when I didn't see it because I wasn't looking. You know, I was just like, no, this is my friend. They love me for me. And as I got older, I was like, oh, they didn't love me for me. Like, they loved me for what they thought I represented. And I think that once they realized I wasn't this fictional person in their mind that they could, like, use as, like, a prop, mm-hmm. that I had my own, you know, thoughts and insecurities, it was just like, oh, this is no fun.
That's how I felt. Because being around there, like, when I started, like, my year one, my born again or whatever, I used to feel, I was like, whoa, I'm living life. I'm doing shit I never did before. Like, I'm partying or whatever it was. But at the same time, there was still a right way to do it, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And I think about it. It's like, dude, if had that not happened, would I have been around that? Like, yeah, they weren't, none of them were addicted to anything. They just did it. It was party drugs, basically. They only did it when they were partying. And of course, I was around it. I got like, oh, you want some? And I took it. But when I remember at that time frame when I was still going to therapy, like my therapist said, it's like you got lucky because of your mindset at that time. Like you could have easily gotten addicted. Yeah. You could have easily just
gone off the deep end.
Yeah. And you
did it. It was more of an escapism for you than it was for them. For them, it was more fun. For you, it was more of an escape.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, like my best friend of 16 years, when I like hit her up to be like, hey, I'm just working on myself a little bit. What do you think happened? And this was the moment I stopped feeling bad about any of my part in it. Mm-hmm. She said that, like, basically, and I'm paraphrasing, she had moved out here and realized that I had depression. And she was like, that was too much for me and I couldn't be around. I'm like,
that's
so
up.
You heard your best friend was depressed.
Wow.
And you were like, oof. Got to go. I was like, that was never my best friend. That was never my best friend. If it's like you see your friend sad and you're like, ooh, this is a lot.
Yeah.
So I have depression. I'm very honest about it, very open about it. I expressed it in high school. I had a friend in high school. We chatted up. We talked a lot. Don't see each other for maybe 10 years. At this point, I already done therapy. I'd done a lot of things, but it's like, it's part of it exists within you. We kind of catch up for a few minutes or not very long of a conversation at all. And I said something to him. It was very much a like, oh, I just came from therapy or whatever. He's like, therapy? I'm like, yeah, for my depression. He goes, still?
Wow.
He goes, you're still like, you're not over it? I'm like, over it? I'm like, no, it's a very real thing that I have to cope with and exist with, whether it's my brain's inability to process certain chemicals that's a result of triggers and trauma from my past or just something that is completely environmental. Either way, it's a part of me that exists. And he goes, yeah, I don't believe in that. And I was like, so this whole time you were just biting your lip, like not saying anything? Yeah. He's like, pretty much. He goes, you know, if you just hit the gym twice a week. I was like, oh my God. All right, pal, look, it was really nice catching up, but not at all. And we've never spoken again after that because it's one of those things where I'm like,
he's listening right now. Like that's why.
He's like, oh my God. I was going to ask you to be the godfather to my child. No, but it was very much.
He named my daughter Jose.
Yeah. I was going to name her Jax, but no. So he decides. I was like, yeah. Oh God. Don't. So where are my fries?
Everybody gets fries.
You didn't bring fries?
No. I was going to bring you guys, peanut butter cups and almond joy.
Oh, okay. My boyfriend hates almond joy.
Yeah. The fact that you remember that, I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Good memory.
I got to start listening. I'm like, what else am I saying on this show?
I know.
But see, that's like the one thing when I always had to go, I was like, dude, the moment somebody asked me to be on their podcast, like I got excited.
Yeah.
And then when you asked me, because for years, dude, I think listening, I know we're going to cut this, but listening to this podcast made me understand you because for years I'm like, I felt like I tried talking to you and I never felt like, I don't think Jose likes me. Mm. And then later on when I started listening to the podcast, I'm like, oh, that makes a lot more sense.
Well, we can tell this story. I'll leave this in because I'll leave it with this last bit. a friend of mine, good friend of mine, great friend of mine, Aurelio Bocanegra, great funny comedian. Yeah, he does a lot of tour. Right now he's doing performing a lot on cruises and stuff like that. But if you ever catch him in town, check him out. This dude used to not like me at all because he thought I was full of myself, because he thought I wasn't like being very selective. It was a misunderstanding that once he got to know me, he realized that all of his misunderstandings about me came from other people's misunderstandings about me. So it's one of those, like, I don't know how I'm coming off until someone else explains it to me. I'm like, I exist in a world where I'm just me.
See, and I don't like you because I know you personally.
Yeah. No. Ariel loathes me.
I love Jose.
Yeah, we're good friends. Thanks, pal.
I know. It's the chemistry or what the comments that you two always get.
That we have a good rapport.
We have a good rapport. That's what it was. Good rapport, yeah. She sets them up. I knock one down, and then she sets it back up, and then I knock a few more down, and then I set some up, and then she knocks them down.
Oh, it's the puns for me, dude.
Yeah. She hates the puns.
Oh, I love them. And I love how much you don't like them.
The first thing I did when you got here was tell a story about somebody else's pun.
He was sitting there. I know. You told it.
I know.
We don't have to revisit this story.
I am revisiting it for the podcast. I'm revisiting it for the podcast.
We were just getting along.
You know, but we should wrap up the episode there. We'll save it for another one. All right. What's your social media? How can they follow you?
I'm at Medro_comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I got.
Gotcha.
So I'm barely trying to build up my TikTok, which that's why I don't want to really kind of give it out because it's... What?
Look, just put this episode out. You just plug this episode and tell me, like, you want to get to know me, listen to this episode. Yeah. So, that's what you do.
Medro_comedy is my Instagram. Facebook I don't really use, but I'm very more active on Instagram.
Okay, cool. And have us on a show sometime, so we'll all hang out. Yeah. Ariel, how can they find you?
Ariel_Washington on Instagram. We'll figure out the TikTok stuff when I'm more
active. Well, we'll get to it.
Actually, and I do have a podcast as well, the Brothers Bear Podcast.
Oh, yeah, you should probably plug that a little bit.
Yeah. The Brothers Bear Podcast.
Yeah, give it a listen. All right, and then you know how to reach us, 818-697-0050. That's if you want to leave us a thoughts, comments, anything like that. You want to tell us about a fight you got into, go for it. We don't care. We want to hear
fucking call
us. Call already. God.
We ask every week.
Oh, if you don't want to call because you're like, I don't like the sound of my own voice, email us, awkwardlysocialpodcast@gmail.com, and don't forget to rate, review, all that stuff. Oh yeah, follow me too @IamJoseChavez. That's all for now. Take care, keep life awkward. This will come out after the show we did, so I'm gonna assume it was an amazing show.
It was amazing. We did so great.
So good. Yeah, fucking
so good.
Celebrities came back from the dead so they can watch the show. It was amazing.
Yeah, Richard Pryor's ghost was like, oh my god.
Yeah, Robin Williams was in the back. He gave me a thumbs up and then he went through a wall. I don't know what that was about, but that was cool.
George Carlin said every curse word, but like positively.
Yeah, they were all curse words to give us like, that fucking shit bitch ass motherfucker was crazy perfect for you. I was like, thank you, George Carlin. Yeah, all right, y'all take care. Keep life awkward. Bye-bye.
Bye.